Please turn in your New Testaments to 1 John 5:14 and 15. If you are visiting today, you just wandered in on a series on faith, the nature of faith, and how faith works. And this morning, we're looking at faith as it relates to prayer and asking God for things. And basically, here it is. Be confident to ask God for what is needed. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Be confident to ask God for what is needed. 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we will have what we ask of Him. Amen. When we lived in Colorado, there's great places to hike out there, and there was a group of teenagers that, kind of on a day off, I guess, they were going to go up and hike in this place called the Crags. The Crags is a hiking area. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's kind of intermediate to difficult, but not the most difficult. There's some verticals, you know, there, but it's a long, long, long loop. And if you're going to hike up there, you better start early, and you're going to go till late. And so, you know, you can just see them in the morning. You got hiking boots. You got your backpack. We're going to put some water. If you're in Colorado, you better put some water in that backpack. Maybe some snacks or something. It's a beautiful day. It was in late April. Sunny forecast. And so they all drove up there in their cars. They parked. I can see this parking lot of the trailhead in my mind right now. And they parked and got on all their gear and started on this very long hike. They were in shorts and t-shirts and hiking boots because the sun was already coming out and it was warm. And so it was a great time. And the hike went on and the hike went on. And they are way deep into this hike when suddenly a massive storm rolled in over the other side of the mountain. And one of the things that just amazed us when we lived out there is the weather can change in 30 minutes. Allie, I'm looking at you from Colorado. That's true, isn't it? 30 minutes. You don't like the weather, wait 30 minutes. This is the joke. But anyway, this storm rolled in, and the temperature began to drop late April, and it begins to snow. And as the storm, more of the storm came up over those mountains, it just covered everything. And right there in the crags and beyond, it was blizzard conditions. And some of those teenagers died that day of exposure and hypothermia, and we had not been out there very long when that happened, and I just thought, oh, how sad. If only they had had, you know, a shell or something in their backpack that would have kept them from being wet and kept them from this wind and this blizzard, but they did not. And I also thought, wow, this is a really dangerous place, you know? In a wild place like Colorado, you better have enough gear. You better have enough supplies to get you through. You know, this is actually a question I think that we ask about our own lives, because our own lives are difficult as well. Will I have what I need to make it through? And I want you to know this morning, the answer to that question is no. You will not. Unless you have the Son. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, in a relationship with Him. And if you have the Son, the answer is yes. You will have what you need. In fact, you will have all that you need to make it through. The book of 1 John is about confidence. It's about the confidence we have in who Jesus is, being really who He is, and how they saw Him. The confidence in what the salvation that He brings is. The confidence that we can know for certain that we actually know God, and the confidence in what that is and the power of God working in our lives to give us all that's necessary for life on earth and to land us into glory, this confidence that we bring. And I would like to say, use a metaphor. And this is not original with me. The metaphor is that the spiritual life is kind of like a hike. All right? It's kind of like a hike. Now, the old-timey language for hike is pilgrimage. Does that ring any bells? it's a pilgrimage. It's a journey. In fact, I would recommend the book by John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress, which is a great classic book. If you've not read Pilgrim's Progress, it's not a very long read. You ought to read it because it's about this long hike that the Christian life is. And sometimes it is so steep. And sometimes it is jagged. And sometimes a blizzard comes in. And it is absolutely life-threatening. It's amazing, this journey that we are on. You know, I think about those young people who died out there on that hiking trail. And you know what would have been even sadder? As sad as that was, and that was about as sad as it gets. You know what would have been even sadder? What would have been even sadder is that if they were out there with their hiking boots and their backpacks, and they had parkas in their backpacks, but didn't take the time to reach in and pull out their shell parkas, but as it were, it was, they were kind of doing the best they could do with what they didn't have. In Jesus, we have it all. In Jesus, everything that we need for life and godliness, everything we need, and I know some of you are facing some really steep grade in your life right now. Some of you are feeling that jaggedness. And for some of you, maybe you're in an absolute blizzard. But you know, when we put our trust in what Christ has done rather than us, you know, we're not trying to make a deal with God. God literally has sent His Son. He has died on the cross. It is finished. It is right there for you. We literally trade our sin for a relationship. Isn't that amazing? We trade our sin for a relationship by believing, by putting our trust in what Christ has done. And when that happens, Christ comes into our life. And He lives in our hearts, and everything we need, we have. Romans 8:32 is a passage that I'll read again in a moment. But it says this: He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How much does God love us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him freely give us all things? Maybe you could put it this way. With Jesus, all you need is in the backpack. It's all there. I love Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all your needs out of His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. There's nothing you need that God can't supply, that God is unwilling to supply. That we've got the backpack that has everything. So, might we say that prayer is simply knowing how to get out of the backpack what we need? Now, I will tell you, I know that is a really simple metaphor. The last 3 days, I've been praying about some things, and I promise you, I said, okay, it's in the backpack. I'm either going to reach in there and grab it through prayer or not, and I've decided to reach in and grab it out of the backpack, you know? Dora the Explorer, and the young people know who that is. We've got more in the backpack than her. We've got everything we need. Actually, prayer, the scriptures, the sacraments of communion and baptism, this is how we access what we need. But the gospel says this. The gospel says that Christ has given you all. And that out of that all, as we live into the salvation that we confidently have, out of that all, He will give you what you need when you need it. Do you believe that? Be confident to ask God for what is needed. Let's say that aloud. Say, be confident to ask God for what is needed. Now, you go home and do that. First is, be confident. The passage begins with, this is the confidence we have in praying, in approaching God. Now, I'd like for you to look at our text and then go back to the two verses immediately prior to the text that we read. You'll look at those two verses and some of you will say, I memorized that off the scripture memory card a long time ago. 1 John 12 and 13. What is the confidence we have? Here it is. 1 John 5:12-13. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Here's the memory verse that a lot of people have memorized. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence we have when approaching God. We know that we know Him, and if we know Him, He has given us everything we need, and we just need in faith to ask Him. And by the way, this is one of the reasons that a lot of people's prayer lives are going nowhere. And I think it is the place to start. And here it is, folks. You can live here in the Deep South your whole life. You can know all about Jesus. You can know that He died on the cross. You can say, yeah, and I believe that happened. But until you put your trust, till you quit trying to earn it with God and just receive what He has done for you, you don't know that you have eternal life. And if you don't have the Son, you don't have the life, and your prayers are not going to be answered. It's just going to be a stone wall and a stone silence for you. Proverbs 15:29 says, "The Lord is far away from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous." Hebrews 4:16, one of my favorite verses on prayer, says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." You see, this is the confidence we have in approaching the throne of grace, that we know that we have the Son and we have life. We've got the backpack, and we can access all that is needed in this confidence in knowing Him. If you don't know for certain if you put your trust in Christ, you ought to really think about that. And you can actually do that today, and you can know for certain. So be confident. But the second part is, be confident to ask for what is needed. Reach into the backpack for what you need. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we will have what we ask of Him. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. And we know that if He hears us, we will have what we ask. That is called faith. Now, so interesting about prayer and faith, isn't it? Does anybody really know how prayer works? I don't know, because, you know, if you think about it, we're praying to God, right? God is a sovereign God. He created everything. I mean, He is in charge of, there's not one stray electron in the universe. That's how in control He is. And, you know, look, God, if He wanted to do it a different way, He could, right? God doesn't necessarily need prayer to do what He wants to do. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth without any prayer. But so just kind of think about the fact that God is a sovereign God. But at the same time, think about this incredible thing, that God has determined that human prayer will change things in the supernatural realm and change things in the natural realm. And so somehow God is King, and somehow yet He has worked this where we enter in with Him by asking in prayer and things change. And then James 4:2 is one of the most haunting verses in the entire Bible. And in light of God being sovereign, it just says simply this: you don't have because you don't ask. You've got it in the backpack. And you don't reach into the backpack and pull it out. You don't have because you don't ask. You know, we have the opportunity through prayer to affect change in ourselves, in the people around us. This is wild stuff, you know? That we're talking to God and things change. It is the meaning of the passage in Mark 11. If you'll turn there, Mark 11, 22 through 24. Jesus' words about prayer, where Jesus says, I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and he does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. So there's something very powerful about faith and prayer. Whoever says to the mountain, run in, you know, be poured into the sea, crumbled into the sea, and believes, it will happen. Therefore, Jesus says, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Whoa! This is kind of wild, isn't it? Now, that makes it exciting as far as I'm concerned, because look, there are certain things that you know you need. And there are things in your family that you know are needed. And there are things in your neighborhood. There are needs in your neighborhood that you can pray about and in this town. There are needs in a faraway place called Libya this morning. And in Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran and all this. You know, I mean, we look at these things on the television and you know what we say in kind of our American mindset? Those people are crazy. That's what we say. We say, those people are crazy. And the more we deal with those people, the deeper enmeshed we are, the more they hate us. You know what? If you know Jesus, you need to say something other, more than those people crazy. You need to say, Jesus, we need peace in this region. We got people being killed. We need the cessation of violence. Jesus, we need for your gospel to move. Jesus, we need for you to protect your church in Libya and advance your kingdom in Afghanistan. Jesus, I know you're king. This kind of looks bleak. I want to just say these people are crazy and not deal with it, but I believe these can become Christian lands. Would you do something about this? And you know, there are things in our own hearts that need to change, that might be, in a way, harder than Libya. Say, God, change me. I'm going to reach into the backpack for what is needed. Don't you see things that need to be changed in your own life? I do. Don't you see things that need to be changed in your family and your extended family and on your block and around you in the world? Ask confidently. Confidently ask God for what is needed. E.M. Bounds, who's a great author on prayer, says, faith is the one great condition of prayer. The lack of faith lies at the root of all poor praying, feeble praying, little praying, and unanswered praying. That is, people that it's all in the backpack, and they don't believe it, and they don't reach in and pull it out through prayer. I was at, I think it was the men's retreat last week, and I told this story. And little group of people I was talking to, they said, you've got to tell that in church. So I'm going to. It is the story of answered prayer. It's the story of when Gina and I were 29 years old and God called us to go and start a church in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Yes, I'm an Auburn graduate, so it was quite the missionary endeavor. But no money, ready, set, go. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, you learn a lot about prayer when there's nothing, because you have to literally pray for everything to be there. And so we'd say, Lord, we need this and we need that. And Lord, we need people and we need leaders and all this, you know, that's happening through prayer. And we always say we learned the power of desperate prayer in church planting. And those of you that planted this church understand exactly what that is about. But I'll never forget the day, and it was precisely the Monday morning after we took in the first group of members in this church. Remember, we started with, it was not zero, it was nine people and Gina and I. I think it was nine with us, actually. But we took in 42 members. Now, that's big when you have zero. And this is the greatest day of your life in this church. And here I am in my office Monday morning, and I cannot tell you, I am more depressed than I have ever been in my life. Usually, you know, you kind of expend a lot of energy. I call it depletion. You ever notice that when you're just really depleted, sometimes you get depressed? Well, I am so depressed, you can't get me up with a spatula. I'm so depressed. There's an antebellum home downtown on the west side, and they are trying to rent out some offices really cheap, so we have one. Tall ceilings, very Spartan. You can just kind of see me. I'm lying on the floor, on the wood floor. And I'm just so depressed. Just like Elijah, really. And I said to God, I'm so depressed. I can't get up. You ever have that feeling? I can't get up. Just sitting there. I said, God, I need for you to do something. I can't stay on the floor all day. I need for you to do something. And right when I said that, the phone rang. No kidding. So I crawled over on the floor to the phone, and I picked it up, and I thought, you know, it's going to be somebody in the church. And I picked up the phone, and I said, hello? Hello. Now, I knew exactly who that was. Hello, this is Douglas Kelly. Now, some of you know Douglas Kelly. I haven't spoken to Douglas Kelly in a long time. Douglas Kelly was my systematic theology professor at RTS years before this. It's not like we talk all the time. And Douglas Kelly's kind of a spooky spiritual kind of guy, really, you know. And I'm like, well, hey, Dr. Kelly, how are you? I'm fine, he says. And then he says this. He says, I was in prayer moments ago, and the Spirit of the Lord impressed me that you were discouraged and that I needed to call you and encourage you. I mean, it's like a shock of electricity that came through me. I'm like, up, you know? Thank you. That was very encouraging, Dr. Kelly. Please don't do this every day. And you know, I tell you that, and I want you to know, I this does not happen to me a lot, okay? So you're like, yeah, he's a pastor. This stuff happens to him all the time. No, it doesn't. So why am I telling you this? Because, you know, it just kind of illustrates that right there in the backpack was a systematic theology professor. And very specifically, I confidently, boldly stated my need to God. And God very specifically answered that need. I know it won't be like that all the time, but that's what it's like. He loves you. In the gospel, he has given us everything. And he wants to give us out of that everything what we need as we need it. But a lot of folks just don't reach in and take it out. Now, I pray a lot for this church as well. That's not the way he used to pray. At least he used to pray. And I want you to know, I think it would encourage you to know that there's just been some incredibly wonderful answers to prayer here 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to give any details, but one of the most profound answers to prayer that I have just seen in a long time just happened. And it was beautiful. Brad, you and Cindy are specific answers to prayers, and not just mine, but the prayers of this congregation. And you are here in 3D, you know, you're here. So prayer reaches into the backpack of Christ's provision in the gospel. I've been thinking a lot about that. It's encouraged me to pray really simply and kind of childlike in the last 3 days. I just got to reach in the backpack. God, I need this. So-and-so needs this. But there is a catch. And you probably didn't read it as we kind of went through that passage real fast. There is a catch, and here's the catch. If it's not in the backpack, you won't access it. In other words, everything you pray for is not a part of what Jesus has provided for you. And he's not going to give it to you. This is what keeps us from kind of doing that name it, claim it, frame it. You know, you just believe it. Doesn't matter what it is. You believe it and you got it. And this is kind of the Lord wants you to buy me a Mercedes-Benz, Janis Joplin kind of thing, you know. And that's not the way it works, because there are three little words in the midst of this confident approach to God, asking confidently for what we need, three little words that show us the way this works. And the words are, according to his will. I want you to look back at verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything, see the words, according to his will. That's when he hears us. And we know if he hears us, we know we have that for which we have asked. I don't know about you. Some people would be, they'd almost feel like that's a drag, you know, like, oh, you had to put a condition on it. No, that's the word of God. I love this. And I tell you why, because I still need for God to be king in my life. I don't know about you, the sovereign ruler over all and king over me as well. And I need a king. And I need this help. I am very comforted by this. I am liberated by this, because if this wasn't here, I would be so worried and triple and double and triple and quadruple thinking what I, you know, would come to God with. Don't worry about it. Just confidently ask. Don't worry about it. Don't sanitize it. Don't spin it. Don't filter it. Just go to your Heavenly Father. Trust me, if it's not in the backpack, you're not going to put your hand on it. But He will give you everything that you need. And I just love this. And have faith that God will say no to you when no is the right answer. And no, folks, is the right answer in our lives a lot from God. I look back now and I'm like, Lord, thank you for that no. Thank you for that no. But kind of moving toward a conclusion, so much that God wants to say yes to in your life. See, this is where the unbelief comes in. Are you convinced that it's all there in the gospel? Are you convinced that that backpack is just full with everything in this relationship with Christ that you need? This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked from Him. So here's the question. Will you ask? Are you going to be like those teenagers in the crags, except for you've got a parka in your backpack and you just don't ask? If you're in Christ, be confident to ask for what is needed. Now, approaching the table, you know, there we could go back to verse 12 or 13. You know, if you have the Son, you have life, so let's go celebrate that life at the table. You know, this is that we know, that I've written these things that you might know that you have eternal life, so let's go knowing and with God that we know to the table. But I'd like to go back to Romans 8, 32 again. This is how much God loves you. He who did not spare His own Son, His only Son, that's the table. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, freely give us all things? You want proof that God is generous? And we'll take care of your needs. That table is a monument to the unlimited love of God and sacrifice of God. And if He gave that, do you really not think He will? Do you really think He'll withhold what you need? In the gospel, we have it, but will we ask for it? Let's pray. Lord, we pray that You would help us to believe. Those of us who have put our trust in You, believe in what we have and simply confidently ask. If you've never put your trust in Christ, would you like to? Just pray with me. Lord, I can't do this on my own. I can't be good enough. I can't know You by my own ways and works. So I want to turn from everything else that I call Christianity. I want to put my trust, Jesus, in what You have done. Thank You, God, that even now, You've come into my life. And Lord, I pray that You would just keep me close to You. Thank You that even now that You've given me all things. And I pray that I would always believe that I can continue to ask. And Lord, many of us have walked with You. There are people who are really stuck in their lives in this sanctuary right now. If it's because they haven't asked, would You show them that? And would You cause Your people to confidently ask and wait upon You? Lord, as we go to this table, thank You that this is the proof that we have that You are that generous and loving God. And we pray this in Your holy name. Amen.